Welcome to Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman, serial entrepreneur, author, and podcast host. Whether success for you is more money, time with your family, a healthy, well-balanced life, or freedom, I'm interviewing guests and getting you the advice to make it happen. So join me as we uncomplicate the complicated, help you define success, and give you the strategies to make it happen. Hi, and thank you for joining us on the Success Is Podcast. I'm your host, Phil Portman. Joining me today is Cheryl Lynn. Cheryl is a successful entrepreneur, life coach, the visionary of the Chair of Joy Experience, and founder of Joyly. Thank you for joining us today, Cheryl.
Oh my gosh, I couldn't be more pleased to be here. Thanks for having me, Philip.
Yeah, so what does success mean to you?
Oh boy, I've been thinking about this. I somehow knew you were going to ask me that. So I don't know if I have the typical answer, but this is what it means to me. I think that success is not things or places or what we've done, but what you have, how you have been able to allow yourself to feel on a daily basis. So every day, all day long, if 90 or 80% of your day is about feeling good or better than what you were a couple minutes before that, then you've arrived. So that has a lot to do with things around confidence, around your routine, around nutrition, around exercise, around your goals and your passions and your noble aim and all of those things. So at the end of the day, it's, do you have a way to feel good about who you are and what you're doing? That's what success means to me, because it's taken me a lifetime to figure that out and conquer it. And I am here to live and talk about it today with you.
Yes, you touched on some things. I've talked about this before in the past on this show and with others around Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Are you familiar with that? And so like the base needs are some of the stuff like food, shelter, water, and then you have to meet the base needs to kind of move up so that you can perform at your highest level. And so that's why personally, I always focus on like nutrition. Am I eating healthy? Am I getting enough water throughout the day and things like that? And I don't know necessarily that that's something that a lot of people think plays into confidence, but for me, it does. Are these subjects that you talk about in your program?
Every day, all day long. I think that there's enough things going on in the world. I think you would agree with me, Philip, about all the ways that your confidence can be stripped away, you know, from 464 mass shootings this year to a suicide committed every 11 and a half minutes, everything on the state of the news. It's just, we come from a world of trauma and tragedy. And I think, you know, my company is called Joyly. So what I've learned over the years is that with all this thinking and all the news and all the things that are going wrong, 30 to 60,000 some odd thoughts that we have on a daily basis, we don't, all mostly negative, we don't put anything in to feed the right side of our brain, which is our visual, creative, joyful sensibility. And so the work that I teach or do is to build that confidence up enough to know that we're deserving of all the things that you mentioned, exercise, nutrition, feeling good, joyful, all of that stuff. So yes, it's focusing and making this a priority, this mental health focus is key to everything we do when it comes to success.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that mental health is one of those things that people avoid talking about. It's kind of got a,
why?
It's good. Well, especially for being a man, I think it's kind of one of those topics that we avoid because, you know, talking to somebody else about your problems, me, the way I was raised is it's, you know, I'll figure it out. You know, I'll figure it out on my own. I don't need help from somebody else. You know, it's kind of an ego thing. Mm-hmm. But also when you think about mental health, the only thing that I think a lot of people think about is just mental illness. Well, I don't have any mental illnesses. I'm a perfectly normal person. So why should I focus on mental health?
Mm-hmm. Well, because, as you know, I focus on joy, and for mental health is feel. So I have a process that helps us feel better. And so when we feel better, we are raising our standard of what we want for our lives. And so if we're feeling negative, that's not necessarily mental illness, but it's definitely not mental fitness. And so again, we got to work the right side of our brain. We've got to give that feeling good exercise. We've got to give it attention and focus. And I think so many of us just become so complacent, don't we, Philip? Like it's just, yeah. It's another day and it's another thing. And I got to make this phone call and I got to talk to this team member and I got to make that sale and on and on and on and on. And we're exhausted by the end of the day. And then we're tapping into the alcohol and, you know, probably drugs and whatever things people are doing to get them through the evening. And it's just an easier life that I think we're supposed to have. I believe that we're on this planet to feel good, to have fun, to get excited, to be, you know, living and doing the things that we love.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree with you more. And I loved how you talked about the mental health as being like a proactive thing that you're doing to live a better life. And it's not a problematic thing that you're solving. And it's just like in physical fitness, right? We work out, run, eat healthy so that we don't run into the problems, you know, where we have to go to physical therapy because our back went out or our knees went out or something like that. So
let me tell you a quick story, Philip, if you don't mind, around that. There is a woman who, oh my gosh, she was quite overweight. She was moving across country, her house was upside down. So she was downsizing and she had a very big executive job. And so all of the things we were just mentioning were on the back burner. And I can finish the story later about how we helped her. But at the end of the day, when she started paying attention to the things that matter and feeling good and mental health, she was able to, it's like a light bulb that went off. She was able to create a $7 million deal. And so this is how we help people get to the things that matter, is by paying attention to what feels good and what's important to get to the results that we're after.
That's great. So let's talk about your company, Joyly. Can you explain to us the iconic E in the word Joyly?
Have you heard of Nike? The iconic swish?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just looked around when I came up with an idea for a company name, along with all of the branding. And, you know, I wanted something very Nike-esque. And I think that there is so much conversation and talk and things to do in the world that it would just be fun if we could do something very simple, you know? Yeah. So that's how the Joyly Enterprise started. Joyly is just a little bit word expanding on the word joy, because I think joy is one of the most misunderstood words on the planet. We use it at Christmas time and birthday parties, but other than that, it's not really what we know. And so the Joyly, it means like a joyly, living joyly, a joyly lifestyle, joyly ever after. And yes, eventually I think the E will stand alone.
No, I love it. I love hearing about the icons where people come up with the branding. I get asked it a lot, and sometimes it's just my wife draws something on a napkin for me and then it evolves into something else. And so it's always interesting to hear the stories.
Yeah, good question.
Can you explain what the Chair of Joy is and how you created it?
Yes, I sure can. Just as Las Vegas was shutting down before COVID or during COVID, in the midst or whatever, it was March of 2020. And I was living there, I was wintering there, and people kept saying to me, like, how are you staying so positive and up? And who are you? Like, what is the thing that you do, Cheryl? And I'm like, the only thing I could really answer to was I learned how to sit still. Over 30 years of my life, I moved 45 times. I was always on the search and the quest for that happy, that what is that thing that everybody has that I don't? And so over the last, I don't know, 5 years prior to that, I learned that if I just sat still and listened to my own intuition and to my own impulse, I got a lot more done, because I knew what the direction was. I knew what the aim was. I had focus in my life. And all of a sudden, I just felt this peace. And so the chair came about because I bought the chair as a mouthpiece. It was just a gimmick. Like, how can I be really loud with this conversation? And the more I sat people in it, went to 120 cities, over 10,000 people have sat in it and know the words Chair of Joy now. And that's just the beginning. They wanted me to ask them questions. And so I started talking to neuroscientists, learning about joy, and the process just unfolded. So I'd like to share with you, if you don't mind, the Chair of Joy experience with you, Philip. Would that be all right?
Absolutely. Love to hear it.
All right. So the first question is, and what I like to say is, when you get started with your Chair of Joy, it's like your first kiss. So This is my gift to you, your very own Chair of Joy. So if everybody is on the podcast listening today, my ask is for you also to locate your Chair of Joy. So Philip, if you could look around your house or your office, where is your Chair of Joy? Or not necessarily a joyful place, but a chair that you can go and sit in and get away from the chaos and the stress and the overwhelm at the computer. Where would that be for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So in our bedroom, we have a desk and it looks out a bay window across our front lawn, and it is beautiful there. Across in the distance, you can see horses. We got, you know, trees up there. It snowed last night, so we looked out there and you had a beautiful, looked like one of those Hallmark movies with the snow over everything. And all it takes is a minute to sit down and look out that window, and you just feel peace and relaxation because horses off, you know, doing their thing, eating in the distance. And it's literally like out of a postcard.
I can feel the Clydesdale effect, right? I know you're in Michigan, so I completely understand what you're talking about. That's beautiful. And I'm a woodsy hometown girl as well, so I appreciate that Chair of Joy that you picked. So perfect. Did you say it was a couch or a desk chair? Did you say a desk chair?
Yeah, it's a desk chair. It's a that's in front of a desk. We have a bay window in our bedroom, and right. So you sit in it. My wife is an author, so she likes to write at it.
Okay.
Because she pulls her inspiration from behind it. But if I'm sitting in that chair looking out there, it's a chance for me to just relax and feel at peace.
So perfect. So the idea is, if you don't mind, for just 60 seconds, that we have a tagline that says "Feel Better Now." That's the name of my book. So literally in 60 seconds, what we do is help people feel better. So everyone listening, plus you, if you don't mind closing your eyes for just 60 seconds, I'll take you through the Chair of Joy experience. So number one is I ask you where your Chair of Joy was. Number two is I want you to sit in your Chair of Joy. So as your eyes are closed, feel yourself moving to that Chair of Joy and just settling in and embracing the outside or the horses, as Philip has mentioned, that are out for his Chair of Joy view, and just settle into the sights and the sounds. Is there kids playing? Whatever it is, it's perfect. And then the third step is to take a deep breath. So just take a deep breath with me. And I want you to kind of just drop your shoulders and tap your feet on the floor and just get really present with the fact that we are taking just 60 seconds for you. So one more deep breath. And let all the worries, troubles, anxieties, things that you have to do just fall off onto the ground. And then I want you to pick up that one important thing that's on the ground that means the most to you, and pick that up, and let's hold that or embrace that in our hands. And then the fourth step, I want you to think about a moment of joy around that thing. So whatever that thing is, just tap into any kind of moment of joy that feels good. And I want you to really see it and kind of step into it almost like it's a movie that you're playing out, and even expand it a little bit. If you could make that memory even better, what would you do? And then the last part, number five, is to feel that experience in your entire body. So just let that kind of bob your head back and forth a little bit, drop your shoulders one more time, and just feel that in your entire body from your head to your toe. And whenever you're ready, you can open your eyes. Did I lose you? Did you go off into the woods with the horses?
I know we were on the beach, actually. With the family. So
beautiful. Mm-hmm. So the idea is that, first of all, your memory was around your family. Your kids were probably there, right? You're having maybe some Mai Tais or whatever you were all doing, right? And then did you feel the moment in your body? Did you like physically feel goosebumps or your hair follicles standing up on edge a little bit?
Absolutely. Felt the warm air, the breeze, the smell of the salt water coming off the ocean. Yeah.
Ooh, good for you. You're very good. You must be a very big visual thinker versus a verbal thinker. Am I right?
I am. Yep. Yep.
Yeah. So easy. So some people, when I ask them about a moment of joy, they can't really come to anything because they might be verbal or verbal people or verbal thinkers, which is fine. Sometimes I say start with a clean kitchen sink. So we all have something that we can tap into. But the idea is in 60 seconds, you talked with neuroscientists, I use science. What is the science of sitting, stillness, intention, breathing, oxygen, serotonin, dopamine, thinking, visualization, symbolization, creating, when you see it, you believe it kind of stuff. And then feeling, that's the opening up the super highways, getting the getting your brain ready to receive. That's the feeling part. So that's what the Chair of Joy is that, and the vision is that all 8 billion people will know the words Chair of Joy when I'm done with them, especially children. Our plan is to move the chair of, or the timeout chair over to the corner and give it a timeout so that we can move in the Chair of Joy for children, which I am so excited about and having so much success with.
Yeah. And so a couple of things I want to talk about with this, being an entrepreneur, a lot of what I do is solving problems and new and interesting ways and coming up with things. And I've had friends to tell me, man, you're just so good at like coming up with ideas for things. And something that I do a lot is think in silence. And it's normal for me, but I find it's fascinating that a lot of people don't do that. They get so busy with their lives. There's never time that they're sitting alone, just thinking. And that for me is, it's something I do very often. And I would say it's led to a lot of the success that I've had in my life. And when you were talking about that and the exercise that we did, it's helped me out a lot, be it solving problems in my personal life or in business. And a lot of times when I'm talking to someone, I just say, hey, give me a little bit and I'll call you back later. I just need to think about this. And I'll just go in silence and sit there and just focus on what's going on. And I would challenge a lot of people listening to this to just do this exercise. And it's going to be uncomfortable at first if you're not used to it. But the more you do it, the more you can visualize like this, it seems like the better you'd probably get. Would you agree with that, Cheryl?
Totally. And I think what you're referring to is in a subtle version of what the Chair of Joy experience is, which is a metacognitive strategy. So what you do is you know that you want to think about something, but then you purposely think about what you want to think about. So you're really evaluating your process so that you can get to the results, which is phenomenal that you have that skill. And it's really easy. It's just a matter of stopping. And so that's why I think the Chair of Joy is working for so many people. CEOs doing it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times a day, right? Sit, breathe. It's a form of meditation, but it's also people think I'm going to get meditation wrong. Or it's also prayer. You could call it prayer if you want. Jesus is sitting on your lap or vice versa. And you can call it prayer. But whatever you call it, it's becomes a habit. Can you do it more often so you can get the impulses and the results like you're getting, Philip, which is phenomenal. And how does that help everybody else in your orbit, right? You're making better decisions. You're helping more people. It's brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely. And for me, it's always like, look, finding the C option in something. Sometimes I have a choice. It's like A, B. And I'm like, yeah, there's got to be a better way. There's something I'm not thinking of right now. And that's why I got to disconnect and kind of visualize it and think about it. Something fascinating, if you've ever done anything on memory, like mnemonics and trying to remember things, a lot of the things that they have you do in memory and remembering things is visualizing, especially like crazy objects or things that really stick good in your brain. And I've personally found that people that are more imaginative have better memories because they're playing this movie in their head when they're trying to remember things. And I found that visualization has really helped with me with my memory personally. And it seems like it expands that area of my brain, basically.
Yeah, that's good. I think you would love the book called Visual Thinking. They actually take you through a test to find out where on the spectrum you are when it comes to visual thinking.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, so that's really powerful. And I also think that you're talking about really, think of entrepreneurs, for example, they're always focused on what's, not always, let me take that back. There's a lot of problems during the day and there's a lot of things that aren't going quite right and fires they have to put out. But what if they did spend more time in that visualization, symbolization, and seeing what it is, why they started their business in the first place and see the result of that? Of course, it helps your memory, but it also starts giving you insight and you're really vision casting for the future and profoundly valuable skill to have. And so Richard Branson does it all the time. And so look where he's at. Warren Buffett, they spend a lot of time thinking, yep, right? And not doing so much, but thinking. It's very, very powerful.
I couldn't agree with you more. So let's shift topics a little bit. I want to talk about your If Diamonds Could Talk podcast. Can you tell us a little about that?
So I'm in the mental health space and working with healthcare crisis. And so I want to bring in, or I'm bringing in those leaders that have been showing up every day. And so I interview the heroes in the healthcare space, and I want to hear, and I want the world to hear what they're saying about how they're staying joyful, even though the housing market and is just soaring through the roof and people don't have places to live and they're living out of their homes. There's a lot of things like that going on, right? And so the chair, the big throne chair that I have, actually has diamond studs in the back. So I put them in the chair of joy virtually or in person, and I interview them. So I want the world to hear, if the chair could talk, if diamonds could talk, what would they say? And most of the time we're in tears when we hear stories. I can tell you a bunch, but it goes on and on. It's absolutely amazing what people say when they're literally asked questions. How do you stay joyful on a daily basis? What do you have to do to get there? And they're just driven by their work, and it's absolutely fascinating.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
So your movement has inspired individuals to find joy and share it with others. What piece of advice would you give to someone who's struggling to take joy into their own hands?
Oh my. What I want to say is, I said at the beginning, is that I was after joy for 30 years, and I was so unhealthy. I was 50 pounds overweight. I was lost and depressed and confused. And what we have to get to is that A, we deserve joy. And 3, it's our God-given right to have joy. We yearn for it. It's the thing that we're after most important. So I'm asking everyone on the planet to please prioritize it. Like, we've got to feed our right side of our brain. All those negative thoughts aren't helping us. And there's nothing, no one, absolutely no one on the planet that can help you develop that joy. It has to come from within. We have to sit, breathe, think, and feel your way into feeling better so you can have more joy. And it has to become a habit. And some people are ready to hear that. Some are not, you know, it's just what it is. My job will be done when the United Nations sits around the table and starts their conversation with a Chair of Joy experience, so that we can all click into what matters before we make world decisions that impact the masses.
That's awesome. Cherilyn, for everyone listening, how do they follow you? How do they keep in touch with what you got going on?
Joyly. We said it at the top of the hour. My really cool company, it's right there behind me, Joyely, and .com, and all of my information is on there. And I'm happy to talk to anybody, take them through the Chair of Joy experience, get this into hospitals and rehab centers and insurance companies and those kind of things. So that's our work right now.
Well, thank you so much for your time today. And I'd like to thank our audience for listening again to the Successes podcast.